my Bible.
This
is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word.
I believe God has given us this
book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die. But right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and when you get there, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's take a look at verse number 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. Y'all there yet? Amen. I gotta get there. Amen. Pastor, you should already be there. You told us to go. How can you tell us to go somewhere that you didn't? You're not. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Let's start with verse number 34. I already said that, didn't I? The Bible says in verse 34, it says, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we should walk by faith and not by sight. And one of the many reasons why the scriptures tells us that is because many times we face situations where just saying that we have faith is not good enough. Okay? Just saying that we have faith is not good enough. The scriptures never tells us to just say that we have faith. Okay? The scriptures tells us to live by faith, because once again, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. And that word walk means to live. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And because by just saying it, okay, by just saying it and not living it can cause us to think that we are living by faith when actually we are living by foolishness. It will cause us to think in our minds that we are living by faith when we are actually living by foolishness. I want to give you the title of this message up front so you will be able to follow me. And once again, it is a question mark title. The question is, by faith or by foolishness? That is the question. Are we living by faith or are we living by foolishness? Are y'all still with me? Amen. See, because see, there's a difference between faith and foolishness. And as Christians, it's very important for us to understand the difference between the two, because if we do not understand the difference between the two, it's highly possible that we could be living by one of them, but think we are living by the other. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Now, I want to tell you the difference between the faith and foolishness. When we talk about foolishness, and you will not find this definition in the dictionary or on Facebook, I guarantee you. Are y'all still with me? But foolishness causes us sometimes to deny reality, okay? It causes us to deny realities. In other words, it causes us to believe in our mind, okay, that something that is troubling us or something that might be causing trouble in our life does not really exist, okay? It causes us to believe in our minds that something that could be troubling us, okay, in life, that something that could be causing danger in our lives does not really exist in our lives when it actually does, okay? And because we think it does not really exist when it actually does, it causes people to be in denial and lie about something that does exist by saying that it does not exist. Now stay with me. I'm gonna help us. This message is gonna help us, I guarantee you. Amen. So foolishness causes us to deny reality by thinking in our mind there's something that's going on in our life, you know, wherever it's at, okay, it's going on in our life, does not really exist when it actually does exist, okay? Talking about foolishness. Are y'all still with me? Now, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Sometimes, many of us, you know, because we love our families, at least I hope we do, amen? And we pray that they get saved, you know, because the danger is that if a person does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're going to bust hell wide open when they die. So the danger of not accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior is not spending eternity in heaven, but spending eternity in hell, or the Greek word Hades, which is a place where departed spirits go who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So we pray that they get saved. And then sometimes when people might ask us, how is your family doing? Are they doing great? They are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because what we call ourselves doing is speaking it into existence. And I told a message, I believe it was on Bible study several months ago, that we cannot speak something into existence if it already exists. Are y'all still with me? You can't speak it into existence if it already exists. Because if it already exists, it is already in existence. Now, what people can do, you can speak something into your life that exist. In other words, if you say every Wednesday I get sick, how many of those sickness already exist? So you're not speaking it into your life, you are welcoming it to come into your life. Do you understand the difference? Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So I can't say, how your family doing? Oh, they doing good. You know, I pray for them and they already saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a lie because they're really not. Are y'all still with me? Amen? Let me give you another example that we can relate to. Let's say that you have, or someone that you know have, sickness in their body. And they are walking around telling you that I'm sick, but I'm healed. Y'all still with me? I'm not really sick, I'm healed. But they're coughing in your face. They all got all kind of stuff running down their nose. But yet they tell you, I'm not sick. I'm healed. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ died for my infirmities and my sicknesses, and by his stripes I'm healed. And that's exactly what it says. See. But at the present time, you're still sick. Because if you was not sick, you wouldn't be still coughing and throwing up and doing all those kind of things. Are y'all still with me? So, foolishness causes us to deny reality by saying something does not exist when it actually does. Y'all stay with me? Now stay with me, because I'm going to qualify everything I say. That's why I like the Word of God, because the Word of God is the qualification table. Y'all stay with me? So let's say, for instance, you say, I'm not sick, especially when it comes to Christians, because Christians always act like they're way up here. So you tell your brother and sister, I'm not sick. And then on Monday morning, you call your boss and say, I can't come to work because I'm sick. Well, the question is, are you sick or not? Are y'all still with me? Because the boss going to say, well, I saw Jack Lewis today, and he goes to your church, and he said that you say you're not sick. So are you sick or not? Now, I'm going to tell you what we should say in a few minutes. But once again, it's foolish to think that we're not sick when we are. Once again, are we living by faith or are we living by foolishness? And once again, I know what people are doing is they're doing it because they're trying to call things into existence, because they say that we can call things as be not as though they were. I got news for you this morning. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can call things as be not as though they were. Uh-oh. Well, Pastor, it's in there. I saw it. I saw it, Pastor, in Romans chapter 4, around verse 16 and 17. So I can call it into existence because the Bible said that I can call things as be not as though they were. Misinterpretation of the scripture due to the lack of study. I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4 so we can see it. I'm talking about foolishness right now. I'm going to get to the faith part. But we have to ask ourselves, are we living by faith or living by foolishness? Because if we're losing by, if we live by foolishness, we're going to have some foolish episodes in our lives that if we live by faith, we would have those episodes. The man thinks in his heart, so we see. Are y'all still with me? Are you in Romans chapter 4? Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I was putting this lesson together. I was like, I had to stop at one point and just walk around the house. I said, good God Almighty, amen. Romans chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 16. Paul's talking to the church at Rome. He said, therefore it is of faith, somebody say of faith. It is of faith that it may be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Do y'all see that? And then he said, as it is written, y'all read it? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who does the Bible say calleth those things to be not as though they were? Never said you and me. It said, God calls those things to be not as though they were. Y'all still with me? So we cannot call anything into existence that already exists, because it already exists because God allowed for it to exist. But there's something we can do. We can say what God has already said. Because the Bible says that God's word shall not return void, but shall accomplish everywhere that he sent it out. It never said our word will not return void. It said that God's word. So all I need to do is just say what God says. When I say what God says, then I receive the benefits, not because I call something into existence, but I said what God said. God causes things to be not as they were. And many Christians misinterpret that scripture, and they think they are, well, the Bible says I call things. You don't call nothing. Other than on your iPhone. Or your Androids, they don't work that well sometimes. Amen. Okay, that's what you say. Stay focused on the word. Amen, amen, amen. Don't be getting mad. I didn't tell you to go by amen, amen, amen. Y'all still with me? Now, let's talk about living by faith. Because the title of the message is, do you live by faith or do you live by foolishness? Amen. Now, I'm going to get back to the sickness. Just stay with me, stay with me. See, when it comes to sickness, what we need to do is confess the word. You know, yeah, the Bible says, Jesus said, by his stripes we heal. But I'm going to show you how you confess it in a few minutes. See, I'm going to show you in a few minutes. But I want to talk about living by faith. Because I told us that foolishness causes us to believe that something does not exist when it does. Faith is the opposite. Faith causes us to know that trouble and dangers exist, and we have to depend on God to deliver us from them. That's living by faith. Faith less causes us to know, lets us know that troubles and dangers do exist. And it causes us to have to depend on God to deliver us from them. Because they do exist. But I don't know about you. I remember a song that said, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. The Bible never said that things that exist does not exist, because they do. So I cannot act like I'm not sick if I'm sick. I mean, let me rephrase that. I can act like I'm not sick, but that doesn't mean I'm not sick. Y'all still with me? I can act like all my family members are saved, but that doesn't mean all of them are saved. See, I can't speak that into existence, because it's already in, salvation has already been spoken into existence through Christ Jesus. Y'all still with me? But the Bible never says that things does not exist because they do exist. But people misinterpret the scripture, once again, due to the lack of studying. And that's why they think things don't exist. I'm just going to walk by faith. I'm just going to ignore that thing. No, you better recognize reality. And then walk by faith. I ain't worried about it, because Jesus said, my faith shall make me whole. You better face reality and understand what you need to use for your faith for. See? Because there is reality. I know the Bible says we are in the world and not of the world. Okay? But the reality of it is that you still live in this world. There is an adversary by the name of Satan Lucifer, the dragon, who's going to always remind us that you live in this world. He's always going to attack us to try to kill us. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because the Bible never tells us that things that don't exist, because they do exist. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there yet? Now stay with me, because I'm going somewhere. Don't worry, I'm going to get back to David. I know y'all want to go to David. Just hold your horses. Look at what verse 17 says. For our what? Light affliction. That means trouble. That means danger. That means it exists. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, means temporary, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, because verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are what? Seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So notice what the word of God says. It says, for we look not at the things that are what? Seen. It never said that they're not there. It never said that they're not there. It said we don't look. In other words, we don't focus our attention on them. But we focus our attention as Christians on the things that we don't see. What do we not see with the naked eye? Well, we don't see faith. Because faith is evidence of things not seen. So we have to live by something that we don't see. So we don't focus on what we see, we focus on our faith in God. Because God can deliver us from what we are not seeing, although it is there. In other words, I don't focus on the things that I see. I don't focus on those things. They exist, but I don't focus on those things. You get that bill in the mail, guess what? You don't focus on it. If you're a child of the Most High God, if you believe in God, if you obey the word, you don't focus on it. Why? Because you are living by faith. In other words, that means living by the word of God. And if I am living by the word of God and doing what the word of God tells me to do, I don't worry about a bill that comes in the mail. Because I know that the word says that my God shall supply all my need. So instead of me focusing on it, I focus on the fact that my needs will be supplied. Talk about faith. Because once again, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. How do we look at the things that are unseen? Through the eyes of faith. Not foolishness, because they exist. But faith says God's going to take care of them. So I'm going to focus on what God is going to do instead of focus on what that thing is doing to me. Are y'all still with me? That's why we live by faith and not by foolishness. Because foolishness will cause us to deny something that does exist, although exists. Let me give you another example that we can relate to. Let's say, for instance, you're on medication. The doctor prescribed you some medication. And one day you get all big and grown and say, I'm getting rid of this medication. Because the Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight, so I'm going to get this medication out of my sight. And you throw the medication away. How many know that's living by foolishness? See, you got to understand that God created the doctors who provided the medication. And just because you don't take medication, that's not a sign of a lack of faith. See, most people don't even know what faith is. You don't throw it away. Because 4 days later, if the symptom comes back, because Satan is going to try to bring it back to you, you're going to tie the trash can up trying to find out where that bottle was at. See? Holding on to your medication is not a sign of not having faith. It has nothing to do with your medication. But foolishness will tell you that the symptom don't exist anymore, so I'm just going to throw away this medication. And next thing you know, you're going to be at the pharmacy complaining about how long the line is trying to get another refill of your medication. People walk on crutches sometimes. They go to church. Pastor lay hands on them. You healed in Jesus' name. No more pain. And they go home and throw the crutches away. That's foolishness. Listen, just put them in the closet. Because if you have to go back to them, that's not a sign of a lack of faith. That's nothing wrong with going back to them. That's not a sign of what I thought I had faith, but now I got it. Crutches and faith have nothing to do with one another. You can live by faith and still have crutches. See, y'all still with me this morning? I'm just laying the foundation. Gotta lay the foundation before we start flying. I've never seen a plane fly without being landed first. Are y'all still with me? Living by faith or living by foolishness? That is the question. And that is the title of the message. See, in order to live by faith, I must live by the right kind of faith. And the kind of faith that the Bible tells us to live by is the God kind of faith. That's real faith, see? The God kind. I want you to go with me, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And when you get there, say amen. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. By the word, we can't go wrong. Mark chapter 11. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says in verse 22, it says, have faith in who? We had three people see that. It's on the screen. Y'all can look on the screen if you don't see it in your Bible. Maybe somebody just tore your page out. I don't know. Right there. Have faith in who? God. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. Notice the Bible never tells us to have faith that our situation is going to change. It never tells us to have faith that our situation will change. I got faith, it's going to change. No, it never tells us that. It tells us to have faith in God. And the reason why we have faith in God is because God is the only one who can change our situation. So the faith is not in the situation. The faith is in God. He says, have faith in God. The God kind of faith. Once again, living by faith or living by foolishness? Because I told us earlier that foolishness will make us think we're living by faith when we're not actually living by faith. We're living by foolishness. Are y'all still with me? Have faith in God. Now, this is for those of you who could possibly think, I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the sickness. Remember I told you, people walk around and say, I'm not sick, and they're coughing all over the place. This is going to qualify what I said. Are y'all still with me? He says, have faith in God. And look at what else Jesus said here. He says, so verily I say unto you, put your name there. He says, whosoever shall do what? Say unto this obstacle, this mountain, this dangerous situation, okay? This thing that's troubling me, okay? That seems to be getting the best of me Because instead of me having it under my feet, it has me under his feet and it's controlling me, whatever. He says, whosoever shall say unto this what? Mountain. That tells me that I cannot walk around thinking, whatever the mountain is in your life, I cannot walk around thinking that it does not exist, because it does exist. Because Jesus is saying, whosoever shall say to it, and if it did not exist, he wouldn't tell us to say something to it. Y'all still with me? He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, again, put your name there, with what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Do you really see it or do you see it? He said, have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. Don't doubt, but believe. Believe those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. And therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now I want to dissect those series of scripture for you and for me so we can further understand what Jesus is saying here. Because there are some things that he is telling us to do. Do you agree with me on that? The first thing he's telling us to do is to say something. And the second thing he's telling us to do is to believe what we say. Are y'all still with me? What I'm trying to get you to do is, the Bible says that if you believe that you receive, after you say, you shall have whatsoever you say. So once again, I have to believe it, I have to say it, I have to believe it, and once I do those things, I shall have or will have whatsoever I say. Y'all still with me? So we have to do the believing, we have to do the saying too. In other words, I must do the saying to it, and then I must believe it. So I do the saying to it, I believe it, and then God does the delivering. Not me. I say to it, I believe it, and God does the deliverance. So the question is, what do I say to it? Well, what I say to it is what God has already said about it. See? I just can't say something and think I'm going to come. I told us earlier, the Bible never said our word would not return void. It says God's word. So I have to say what God says. Okay? So once again, for verse 23, for verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Believe that things that he says shall come to pass. Notice they ain't came to pass yet. Believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have or will have whatsoever he said. Do y'all see that? Amen, amen, amen. Once again, notice what the scriptures say. Number one, it never said that the mountain does not exist. Number two, scriptures tell us to speak to it and not doubt what we speak. Number three, we speak the word of God to it because only the word of God does not return void. So I have to say what God says. Okay, let's go back to the sickness. Let's say a person is sick. I have to say, confess the word. The Bible says, say to the sickness. And don't doubt in my heart. But believe that what I say to it is going to take place. I shall have whatsoever I say. Okay. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for our infirmities and our sicknesses. The Bible says by his stripes I am healed. So in my body, sickness in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my body. Because the Bible says, so you got to speak the word to the situation. The Bible says, not what I say. I don't mean nothing. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for my infirmities and my sicknesses, and by his stripes I am healed. So I command you to get out of my life. Because based on what this word says, I believe that I am healed in Jesus' name. So instead of me walking around saying I'm healed, I say I believe I'm healed. Because the word of God says so. The word of God says by his stripes I'm healed, so I believe the word. That's what you're saying. I believe the word. I believe that I'm healed. And the Bible says, once again, look at what it says. It says, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. When I'm confessing the word of God, God blesses me with whatever I said, the word of God said. Guess what's going to come? The healing. And when the healing comes, the sickness have to go. Because healing and sickness can't stay in the same place. Y'all still with me? So instead of me walking around saying I'm healed, see, I'm talking foolish. Why? Because sickness still exists in my body. And I'm trying to act like it does not exist. It still exists. But I believe that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Why? Because the word of God says that if I confess it with my mouth and do not doubt in my heart, but believe what the word says, I shall have whatsoever I say. And once again, what we say must line up with the word of God. Look at what else it says here in verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. The comma shouldn't be there in the King James Version. That's a mistake the man put there. What things soever you desire when you pray. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe. In other words, that comma shouldn't be there either. Man messed up. The original manuscripts of the Bible had no punctuation marks. When mankind came to translate the Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic Bible or manuscripts, man added the punctuation marks and the periods and the commas. And how many of you know man always mess things up? And in many places in the Bible, the periods and the commas are in the wrong place. In some cases, they should not be there at all. Are y'all still with me? That's why we need to study and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to understand the word of God. Because periods and commas change the whole meaning of situations. Are y'all still with me? The way it should read is this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. When you pray, believe you receive. When you pray, believe you receive. In other words, don't believe you receive it after you start praying. When you are praying, you have to believe that you receive what you're asking God for when you pray. In other words, you can't doubt that God is not going to do it. You have to believe what you receive when you pray. And when you believe, what you receive when you pray, the Bible says, and you shall have them. It never says you already have them. It says you shall or you will. Why? Because God always provides the deliverance. We do the saying, we do the believing, and God provides the deliverance. Because we can deliver ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Can someone please flash your fingers upstairs and let me know how much time I have? I know I see the green light. Let me, 2 minutes? You can say it, it's okay. 20 minutes, okay, it's good. Okay, I just want to make sure. Because the clock told me I had 20 minutes. But the green light, I don't know what the green light is telling me. Okay, I got you, amen. Thank you, Kasim, I appreciate you. That's a dedicated young man up there. That's a dedicated young man. I have to stop to say this. And all of them up there are dedicated. And I keep hearing how well they're doing. These young guys. Dedicated. Run that operation up there. That makes me feel good. Amen. The young generation. And the older generation up there too. You know everybody else up there. But these guys, you know, they could be somewhere on their cell phone somewhere or looking at some on TV. They up there working. Serving in the ministry. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And when you stand praying, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray, and you shall have them. Okay? Because God provides the deliverance. See, that's faith. That's faith there. I believe that I receive when I pray. Why? Because God's word says that I can have it. Are y'all still with me? Amen, 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 amen. It never said that the mountain does not exist. It never tells us not to speak. It tells us to speak to the situation and not doubt. And what we speak to it is what the word of God says. But we would not know what the word of God says if we don't spend any time in it. Y'all still with me? Amen. Sometimes people find themselves in dangerous situations. They find themselves in troubled situations. We cannot deny it. They exist. And sometimes we find ourselves in those situations. And that was the case for Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we started. And I want you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have a situation with David and Goliath. Many of you are probably familiar with the series of scripture, where David used a slingshot to throw it at Goliath, and he killed Goliath, and then he cut his head off because he did exactly what he told Goliath he was going to do. So many of you might be familiar with that. You might not be, but you are now. But I want to point some things out in this series of scripture that's going to help us if we pay attention. I want to point some things out, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we started off at. Once again, living by faith or living by foolishness? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. Amen. So we have a potential battle that's about to happen between the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines. And the Philistines, the Bible says they have a champion, a giant by the name of Goliath. And Goliath stood somewhere between 9.5 to 10.5 feet. Amen? Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the Middle East, but the majority of the people that I see in the Middle East, they're real short. Y'all still with me? So you can imagine what a 9.5 feet or 10.5 feet a person look to. Really short people. No, Goliath wasn't 25 feet tall like some people try to make him out to be. You know, he was about 9.5 to 10.5 feet. Amen. And so the Bible tells us that the children of Israel was very fearful of him because he was talking about, you know, if y'all win, we gonna serve you all. If we win, y'all gonna start serving us. And they were afraid. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, it talks about the armor gear that Goliath was wearing. Okay, you talk about his armor gear. Amen. But how many of you know the armor gear that Goliath was wearing was not the armor of God? And if it was not the armor of God, that means that it could be penetrated. Are y'all still with me? Amen, 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 amen. So throughout 4 and 7, afterwards, Goliath continued to talk smack to the army of Israel, just talking loud and saying nothing. Amen. And they were in fear by the words that Goliath spoke out of his mouth. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And then, you know, the Bible introduces David around verses 14 and 15. Amen. Around 14 and 15, it introduces David. And the Bible talks about what David's responsibility was. His responsibility was to take care of the sheep for his father, Jesse. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So then the Bible tells us in verse 15 that David had returned back to feed the sheep because that was his responsibility to feed the sheep. And how many of you know, how many of you know that the responsibility that David had was not easy? People said, well, David, all he did was fed the sheep. That was not an easy responsibility for a young boy. Are y'all still with me? Because David not only fed the sheep, but David had to also protect the sheep from lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. He had to protect the sheep from lions and bears. So he wasn't just sitting there, here you go, take this piece of bread. No, he had to protect them from the lions and the bears. That's not an easy job. Because how many of you know lions and bears are dangerous? Very dangerous. And when they come to take you out. Y'all still with me? Amen. So Jesse sent David to take some food and some supplies to the army of Israel. But before David left, he made sure that somebody stayed back to take care of the flock or the sheep. In other words, he did not leave his responsibility unattended like people do today. Before he left, he took care of his responsibilities. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen. I want to go all the way to verse 24. I just wanted to bring you up to verse 24 because in verse 24, we see some things going on here. The Bible tells us in verse 24 that all the men, when they saw Goliath, they fled from him and they were sore afraid. Okay, they were afraid of him. Do y'all see that? In other words, there is no fear in faith. There is no fear in faith. So that tells me right there that these men were foolish men. Instead of living by faith, they were living by foolishness because there is no fear in faith. But there is fear in foolishness. Why? Because foolish people do not believe God's word. They don't believe God's word is true. They don't believe God can deliver them. Y'all still with me? Amen. They don't believe God's word can deliver them. So they fled in fear. And then in verse number, when David found out what was going on, he asked a question here in verse 26. He said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" In verse 28, his brother, his oldest brother, you know the tall, good-looking one that Samuel says should be the king? His oldest brother, made a mistake. He didn't even know who David was. Now, he knew from the point that he was his brother, but look at what he said to David, because David went to take the supplies, and when he saw David, look at what he said here. He said in verse 28, And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" He said, "I know your pride and the numbness of thine heart, for thou art come down here just so you can see the battle." So he misunderstood who David was. Y'all still with me? He misunderstood who David was. See, he made a mistake to not understand the difference between pride and confidence. See, David didn't have pride. He had confidence in his God. Eliab didn't recognize that. See? Christmas is like this. When you are really living in faith, you have confidence in God. A lot of people might mistake your confidence for pride. Don't worry about them. If you are living by faith, you have confidence in God because you know there is nothing that God cannot do. Are y'all still with me? The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, I'm going to read it to you. It said, "Be confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." See, God had already begun a good work in David. So David wasn't operating in pride like his older brother thought. David was operating in confidence. Why? Because he was living by faith. Eliab was living by fear, so that means he was living foolishly. He didn't recognize how powerful God is, but David did. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Now listen to this. So David said, "Hey, let me go take care of this giant." You know, they talked about it, and the king told him, good God Almighty, King Saul told him, he said, "David," in verse 33, he said, "you will not be able to stand up against Goliath because of your youth. You won't be able to stand up against him. Goliath is a warrior, and he's been fighting since he was young." He said, "You will not be able to stand up against him because of your youth." Are y'all still with me? Now, let me explain some things to us in the last 8 minutes about King David. Boy, I know I might not be able to finish this today, but let me explain some things to us about King David. Number one, David had the responsibility, I've already said it, of taking care of the sheep. Y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us that David told him that he had an encounter with a lion and a bear. Because David, I believe, said in so many words, "King Saul, let me explain some things to you. When I was doing my job taking care of the sheep, there came a lion and there came a bear." He said in verse 35, and verse 34, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." What was David's responsibility? To take care of the lamb, to take care of the sheep. The lion and the bear came and just took the lamb out of the flock. I guess they thought David was a foolish man. I guess they thought David was going to let them just take the lamb and go home. So he could sing the song that Mary had a little lamb. But King David, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart. David was faithful. So David said, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, lion. That lamb does not belong to you. That lamb belongs to my father." Y'all didn't catch that, did you? "That sheep belonged to my father." Are y'all still with me this morning? So the Bible says here, David said, "I went after him, and I struck him and delivered it out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I struck him, and I slew him," or killed him. And then he said in verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and I'm also going to slew kill this uncircumcised giant. I told you all a long time ago, whenever you see an animal in the Bible being used as an example, you need to know something about that animal. Let me tell you a little bit about the lion. The lion is one of the sneakiest animals in the world. And what the lion likes to do is to sneak up on his prey. And he does it during a time of limited visibility, when the prey can't hardly see him. Y'all still with me? Limited visibility. And once he gets close enough to the prey, he will attack the prey and try to kill him. And the method that the lion uses to kill the prey is by strangulation. Y'all still with me? See, David did not deny the fact that he was not in danger when dealing with that lion. See, he wasn't acting in foolishness, he was acting in faith. He knew that danger existed, but that still did not stop him from doing his job. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart, and he had his faith totally in God. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. There's a verse in the Bible in 1 Peter 5:8 that describes Satan as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour means to eat quickly. Are y'all still with me? That's what David was up against with the lion. Are y'all still with me? But Pastor, what about the bear? A bear is a ferocious animal, just like the lion. And his main course is to take you out by any means necessary. In other words, kill you. Are y'all still with me? And he attacks his prey by mauling them and shaking them like a rag doll. Talking about the bear. Look it up on the internet. Since y'all like to go to the internet on Facebook, y'all still with me? He mauls his prey, and he kills his prey by, y'all ready? Biting them in the back of their neck or in the back of their back. In other words, backbiting. Backbiting. See, you got to take this and put it in the spiritual view. They start talking about you behind your back, they're trying to tear you down. He kills his prey by backbiting. Y'all still with me? Or by striking a person in the back or his neck or in the face with his paw to take them out quickly. Are y'all still with me? This is what King David was facing. He was not in denial that he was not in danger. But because he had his faith in God, because he walked by faith and not by sight, he still attacked the lion, he still attacked the bear and killed both of them. Now let me tell you give you another example of how ferocious a bear is. A bear does not care whether you are grown or young. He will try to take you out. Give you a good example. And I'm going to close and pick this up next week. Y'all still with me? In the second Kings chapter 2, Elisha the prophet, y'all know him, right, was minding his business, going from one city to another. And all of a sudden, these young boys came out of nowhere and started talking about his head because he had a bald head. And they was calling him, you bald head, you bald head. It's right there in the Bible. You can read it. You bald head, you bald head. And the Bible says a bear came down and attacked 47 of those boys. Brad, I don't care who you are. Are y'all still with me? And then King David, I'm closing with this, we'll pick it up next week, told King Saul how he was able to kill the lion, how he was able to kill the bear. Look at what he said in verse number 35. We'll read 35 again. We'll read through 37, and we'll be done for the day. He says, "And I went out after him," talking about the lion, "and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I struck him again, and I killed him. Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." And then David told him, he said, listen, David said, moreover, he said, "The Lord," y'all still with me? See, first he said, "I did it," but he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear, he will," y'all still with me? "He will." Notice David didn't say, "I hope he'll do it." Notice David said, "I'm going to wait and see if it's going to happen." See, Christians, that is the voice of a foolish person. A foolish person who does not put their faith in God. "Well, I prayed about it. I'm a trouble in my way. I hope it happens." No. What the Bible tells us in Mark, it says, "When you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it." King David had not even fought the lion yet. I mean the giant yet. But he said, "My Lord, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." David said what was going to happen before it happened. Because he knew that the Bible, if he could talk to us today, if he was in our modern time, he would tell us that he was strong, not in himself, but in the Lord. He will remind us of what Ephesians 6:10 says. It says to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He will remind us of what the book of Zechariah says. It says, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Go ahead and stand to your feet. My question for you this morning, we'll pick it up next week, part two. I have some more to go. I got to show you some other things. My question for you this morning, are we living by foolishness or are we living by faith? There is a difference between the two. Foolishness causes us to deny reality. It causes us to believe that something does not exist when it does. And by believing that it does not exist, we start lying about it not existing when it does. Just like sickness. If a person is sick in your body, you can't say you're not. Because if you're not, why you keep coughing all over everybody? But what you can say is what the Word of God says. Bible says, Jesus Christ died for our infirmities and our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. So we can say, I believe that I'm healed because Jesus Christ died for my infirmities and my sicknesses. The Bible told us, have faith in God. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray, and you shall have them. Believe. Say to the mountain, do not doubt in your heart, and you shall have whatsoever you say. You don't say you already have it. But you speak, you confess it. You confess what the Word says. And that way you can't lie and call the boss and tell him you can't come to work because you're sick, because you already said you were healed. So are you sick? Are you healed? Are y'all still with me? That's foolishness. But faith causes us to not deny reality, not deny our troubles, not deny when we're in danger, but trust in God to deliver us out of the situation. That's faith. Once again, are we living by faith or are we living by foolishness? How many of you know that I can't answer the question for you, but I can answer it for me? David, the man told David, you're not able to defeat Goliath. I believe if David was here today, he would say, you know, that man told me I was not able to defeat the lion and the bear and Goliath. Don't he realize that the Bible says that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think? I might not have the power and the strength to do it in my own power, but through God, all things are possible. Amen? Part two next week. Somebody give God a hand praise because he is worthy.